Exodus chapter 20 is where we're at for tonight's Bible study as we continue to look at the children of Israel and their journey to the promised land. Of course, at this stage of the game, we have reached Mount Sinai. And we are going through the giving of the Ten Commandments. Commandments 1 through 4 relate to man's relationship to God. Commandments 5 through 10 relate with man's relationship to man. And all of these, 1 through 10, they all relate to matters of the heart. Now, thus far in our study, we've looked at Commandments 1 through 4. We've seen the reality that it matters who we worship. Amen? And it matters how we worship. Amen? Because it's not about us, it's about Him. It's about Him. And nothing can be truly right in our lives unless He is in His rightful place. I think that's important for us to stop and recognize. We're going to get to all these other things, fathers and mothers and husbands and wives and lying and stealing and all of this. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot have right relationships horizontally if we don't have a right relationship vertically. And so we always have to start with who God is. It matters who we worship, and it matters how we worship. Now, tonight we are going to shift into the back half of these commandments here, and we're going to be looking specifically at commandments 5, 6, and 7. Now, as we look at these, let me help kind of frame out the direction that we're going, because we're going to do ourselves a disservice if we look at these and consider these to be just simple prohibitions. These are simple rules that we simply need to follow. No, what God has given us is so much more than just a simple prohibition. Because God's purpose is not to limit. God's purpose is not to withhold. But what God is doing here is God is putting boundaries in place, boundaries that are designed to unlock the fullness of the blessings that He intends for us. Boundaries designed to unlock the fullness of blessings. Not rules for the sake of rules. Not something just to keep us down and under God's thumb. Not something to limit us, but something to provide the liberty that we need to know the fullness of what God has given. You can kind of almost consider it like the fence. The fence around the backyard that's designed to give the place for maybe the dog or the kids to play and to enjoy the outside and enjoy the things of God's creation, all the while protecting against the dangers of cars or strangers on the other side. The dog might not like the fence, but the fence is there for the dog's protection. Not to limit the dog, but to give the dog liberty to enjoy the blessings available. And so as we begin to look at these, I want you to consider them in the realm of boundaries and blessings or limits which give us liberty to fully appreciate the life God has given. Limits that give us liberty to fully appreciate the life God has given. So let's look at these together tonight. Are you ready to look into God's Word with me, church? Amen. Verse number 12, we know it well. Let's read it in unison together. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I want to consider first tonight the boundary of our parents. The boundary of our parents. Now, the boundary of our parents unlocks the blessings and preserves the sanctity of the home, of the family. The boundary of our parents is something that God has given us to unlock the blessing and to preserve the sanctity of the home. And this is important because the home is ordained by God really to be the building block of all other societal institutions. The home is the building block for the culture. It is the building block for society. It is the building block, even upon which the strength of the church is built up in many regards. It is ordained by God as the building block of the other societal institutions. And here we're told by the Lord in verse number 12 that we are to honor our father and our mother. Honor is the giving of respect, both due from rank and merit. Honor is the giving of respect due both, you could say, from rank and or from merit. And yes, young people, honor does include the idea of obedience. Ephesians 6 and verse number 1, it tells us this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so I think it's important for us to understand that especially for those who are still within the household, honor does include the idea of obedience. I want to consider tonight this idea of honor by rank. In other words, honor due because of position held. Parents are due honor and respect because God has ordained that parents be honored. God has ordained that parents, the position of a parent is a position that deserves to be honored. And God has set that structure in place. Much like we are told to, in the Bible, in the New Testament, to honor those that have the rule over us and to pray for those that have the rule over us. In Romans 13, honor to whom honor is due. Speaking of government officials, we might not agree with our government officials and we might not like certain elements of who they are or what they do. But the very nature of the fact that God has placed them in that position because the powers that be are still ordained of God. The very fact that God has placed them in that position means they are due honor by rank. Parents are due honor by rank because God has placed them in that position. Your parents are not a mistake. Your parents are not a mistake. And I say that to the youngest child, to the most experienced saint here this evening. The parents that God has given you is not a mistake. And I remind us as well that this commandment is not something that we outgrow. This commandment was really given to the adult population of the children of Israel. That we are to honor our father and our mother. And I remind us as well, God did not put an asterisk beside this. God did not say, honor your father and your mother if you think they're honorable. No, God said, honor your father and your mother. Now, mom and dad, can I chime in with this? For those of us who have the privilege to be parents, we should not only strive to receive honor by rank, but we should also strive to receive honor by merit. In other words, we should strive to be honorable. We should strive to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We should strive to bring up our children in such a way that we can look at them and we can say, follow me as I follow Christ. We should strive to be honorable. But regardless of what you feel about your parents' character, God unapologetically instituted this structure into the home. That the mom and the dad that he gave you to deserves honor, respect from you. And God unapologetically instituted this structure into the home and into society, and God gave it some serious consequences when we go against it. I'm glad we don't live in Old Testament times, because I probably would not have survived adolescence. The punishment for dishonoring your mother and your father in the Old Testament, for a rebellious child who would not heed and listen, the punishment was death. We see Leviticus 20, verse number 9 and others. For everyone that curses his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. Solomon in Proverbs gave this interesting thing. Proverbs 30 and verse number 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out. The young eagle shall eat it. I think God takes this thing of honoring our parents seriously. No caveat on whether you think they're honorable. No caveat on anything other than God gave you to them. And therefore, God has placed them as authority in your life. And therefore, for their very position, honor by rank, they deserve to be honored. I think it's very clear from the scripture that you cannot dishonor your parent and still honor God. You cannot dishonor your parent and still honor God. Why is that? Because God knows. Why did God put this boundary in place? Because God knows that the home, and remember, the home is that building block upon which other societal institutions are grown, that the home and society at large needs structure, it needs training, it needs direction, and it needs accountability. And so we learn at the home from the earliest time to honor those that God has placed over us, because we need structure and we need training and we need direction and we need accountability. And so we learn to honor mom and dad so that we learn to honor the teacher one day in school. And we learn to honor mom and dad so we learn to honor the boss man one day at work. So we learn to honor mom and dad so we learn to honor the policeman and the president and the governor and the congressman later on. And we learn to honor mom and dad because God knows that the boundary of structure and authority, the boundary of parents, is necessary for unlocking the blessing of the home. And here's what happens when we find that structure and that training and that direction. And as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, the hupotasso, we place ourselves under, we align ourselves in our proper ranking, he says. When we align ourselves in our proper ranking, what happens? The home provides the blessings of love, support, and direction. The home provides security and stability that cannot be replicated or replaced by anything else. Boy, does our culture lack security and stability. But our culture lacks this blessing because our culture has forsaken this boundary. And in their desire to be free, they have become slaves to the chaos they have created. By the way, this is why this command doesn't end when we get out of the home. We still have the responsibility to honor the parents God has given us, because it is that structure that God has created, and we need to continue to model that for generations to come. Honor thy father and thy mother. It provides love, support, direction, security, stability. It sets one up for success in life. We see here the promise that verse number 12, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We see a similar recount in Ephesians 6 in verse number 2. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Verse number 3, which I don't think I gave, that it may be well with thee, and that thy days may be long upon the earth. In other words, when we determine that we are going to honor our parents, it comes with divine promotion, and it gives us that determined pattern that sets us up for success in life, that we can recognize and honor those that God has placed in our lives that deserve that honor. But hear me, we will never know the blessing of the home if we fight the boundary God has given. Young people, don't fight the blessing God has put into your life. I know it's going to come as a shock to some of you, but your mom and dad actually have your best interest at heart. They want you to succeed. We will never know the blessing while we fight the boundary. And so what do we find? We find a limit that when we receive it, gives us the liberty to fully appreciate the blessings of the life God desires to give us. Honor thy father and thy mother. And so we see the boundary of parents. But God goes on, he gives us another boundary in commandment number 6. We find that in verse number 13. You with me tonight? Say amen. Amen. Verse number 13, let's say it in unison together. Ready? Thou shalt not kill. Seems easy enough. Thou shalt not kill. We'll call this one a boundary on our passions. Passions in that angry, violent sense. I needed a P word and it kind of fits, so we went with it. The boundary of our passions, what does it do? The boundary that God places on our passions unlocks the blessing and preserves the sanctity of human life. The boundary on our passions unlocks the blessing and preserves the sanctity on human life. It doesn't matter, as we'll see from the New Testament a little bit later, it doesn't matter how angry we are with somebody else, and it doesn't matter how much we may dislike somebody else. All life is from God. And so therefore, it is up to Him, not you and I, when that life is to begin and end. Moreover, all men are made in the image of God. And in this, all men possess a worth and a value. The psalmist said in Psalm 139 in verse number 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. Now, here in the Bible where it says thou shalt not kill, it helps us to understand maybe a little bit more specifically what's being stated here. The Hebrew word for kill here is a pretty specific word. And it has the idea of to dash into pieces. It has the idea of to murder. That idea of that malicious assault or attack that ends in the taking of life of another. And so when it means killing here, it's a pretty specific term, something that we would align to murder. And so this would not include elements of capital punishment. We know this because Genesis, the Lord gives civil government the right to execute capital punishment. Reiterated for us in Romans 13 that the governor doesn't bear the sword in vain. He has the right to execute judgment. And so this murder here, it doesn't include capital punishment by civil authorities. It does include elements of war or elements of self-defense. It refers to murder, malicious murder. That means you and I are not to kill. No murder. No revenge. Societally, can I also say, no euthanasia. No abortion. And the Church of Jesus Christ must do all that we can to protect and promote life. And we must stand, for thus saith the Lord, at every available opportunity. That life is life at conception. And life is life until God decides to take that life home. That is not our job and that is not our call. We are not God. But I remind us here briefly tonight that Jesus reminds us as well that it's not just a matter of the hand, meaning he reminds us that this issue of thou shalt not kill goes far beyond hate executed by my hand. It also includes hate that is held in my heart. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, in verse number 21 and 22, he said, ye have heard it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And for you and I to recognize tonight that it's not simply hate executed by my hand, but it is hate that is held in my heart. As we talked about a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday morning, those elements of hate and bitterness, they don't belong to us, they belong to Him. And so the Lord Jesus puts a boundary on our passions because all life comes from God. And all life is made in the image of God, and all life has value. Jesus died for us all. And hear me, if he can forgive me and he can forgive you, he can forgive them. And if he can redeem me and he can redeem you, he can redeem them. So God puts a boundary on our passions to unlock the blessing and preserve the sanctity of human life. So we have the boundary of our parents and we have the boundary on our passions. But I want to look at one more tonight. Verse number 14. And as I recognize that we have no junior church in session this evening, I will be as delicate as possible. Would you read it in unison together with me? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Boundary of our parents, the boundary on our passions. Lastly tonight, the boundary of our purity. The boundary of our purity. The boundary of our purity unlocks the blessing and preserves the sanctity of marriage. It unlocks the blessing and preserves the sanctity of marriage. And by the way, we mentioned how important the home was. The marriage is the most important element of the home. Marriage is the foundation of a home, which is then in turn the foundation of a society. The most important relationship you and I will ever have outside of our relationship with God is our relationship with our spouse. Mamas, your kids and your relationship with them is not more important than your husband and your relationship with him. Husband, your relationship with the kids or with anybody else for that matter is not more important than your relationship with your wife. The most important relationship, human relationship in the home is that of the husband and wife. Husband and wife. Marriage is the foundation of a home, which is in turn the foundation of a society. Sometimes the easiest way to be a better parent is to be a better spouse. Because more than your child needs more treats and goodies and experiences and trips, your child needs the stability of knowing that his mommy and his daddy love each other and will be there for each other no matter what. That his mommy and daddy are committed to God and committed to one another above all else. So sometimes the way to be a better parent is simply to be a better spouse. But the boundary of our purity. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Adultery is voluntary sexual activity occurring outside of marriage. Now, marriage is designed by God and is defined by God. And there is no wiggle room in God's design or definition. Marriage is the union of one natural born man. Whoever thought I'd have to say something like that? It breaks my heart that if you look at our church doctrinal statement, the section on human sexuality is longer than the section on God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit put together. And that's a picture of how messed up this world is. Marriage is the union of one natural born man with one natural born woman for one natural lifespan. By the way, this definition, given in Genesis, confirmed by Jesus, Matthew 19, 4 and 5. Where the Bible says, and he answered and said unto them, have you read not? Haven't you read what God said? That he which made them at the beginning made them male and female. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. The definition and the design are clear and closed for discussion. Church, do me a favor. Do not give in to referring to homosexuality as marriage. Do not refer to them as husbands or wives, because they are not. They are not. So subtly, ever so subtly, we give ground in language. And Christians use the term gay marriage. No, it's not. No, it's not. Don't give that ground. God is very clear on what that is. Don't give that ground. Same goes for pronouns. Again, I know we don't have junior church, so I'm trying. But guys, we got to be clear on this because our world's a pretty messed up place. And we're going to miss the blessing. And our kids are going to miss the blessing because we reject the boundary. So adultery is a voluntary sexual activity occurring outside of marriage. Marriage is designed and defined by God very clearly. In a general sense, though, as all commandments are issues of the heart, thou shalt not commit adultery is prohibition against all sexual sin. And that is anything occurring outside of biblical marriage. Premarital, extramarital, pornography, homosexuality, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. It's all of it. And it's sin. And it's wicked and it's wrong. But before we get on our high horse, let's remember Jesus extends this to the lustful thoughts of our heart and minds as well. Jesus said in Matthew 5, beginning in verse 27, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. In other words, the purity of our whole being matters to God. It's not just our body, but it's our heart and it's our mind. It's not just our hands, but it's our eyes. The purity of our whole being is incredibly important to God. It all matters to God. And God puts this boundary up. The boundary of our purity, of our body, of our soul, of our heart and our mind. I want you to see how important this is. Jesus follows up those verses. We read verses 27 and 28. Jesus comes back in 29. He says, verse 28, let's go back to 28, then we'll go to 29. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So you have looked on the woman, you have looked on the man, you have lusted. Verse 29, and if your eye offends you, if your eye causes you to stumble, if you're not staying pure with your eye, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. And cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. And cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now, Jesus is not teaching a mutilation of our physical bodies because we can still lust with one eye and we can still commit sexual acts with one hand and all of that blah, crazy stuff. But here's the deal, guys. What Jesus is teaching this is that our purity radically matters to God and it ought to radically matter to us. And we cannot tolerate impurity in our body, in our heart, in our mind. We cannot allow it to remain. It is a big deal to God. And it ought to be a big deal to us. Now, why am I making such a big deal about this? Because the church doesn't. So many churches downplay this. I believe I'm correct in saying this. The previous two presidents of the Southern Baptist Convention, which has historically been a fairly conservative, but the current, and I believe the previous pastor, president of the Southern Baptist Convention, have both made statements from their pulpits, preaching, have made this statement that the Bible whispers about sexual sins. Some things the Bible makes a big deal about, but not this. No, not this. Not just some pastor of the Southern Baptists. No, the current and previous president made the statement from their pulpit that God whispers in His Word about sexual sin. No, He doesn't. All you have to do is read your Bible to see outside of idolatry, there is probably nothing else that God shouts warnings about more often and more forcefully than He does purity of body and of heart and of mind and of soul. The Bible screams both warnings against and the consequences of sexual sin. Don't ever let anybody lie and tell you that it's not a big deal to God, because it is. And again, I understand we got chillins in here tonight, but we'll just read a couple of verses together. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse number 16. We'll look at this together. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse number 16. Here the Bible says, and we'll go all the way through verse 19 together, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. I don't think that's said in a whisper. Do you? Proverbs 7 and verse number 26. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse number 26. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Here Solomon's telling his son, don't think you're beyond this. Men who are greater than you and stronger than you have fallen. Have been slain by her. In the New Testament, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 18. This is a striking verse. Flee fornication. Sexual immorality. Why? Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication does what? Church, read it with me. Sinneth against his own body. In other words, there are consequences. There is a weight to this sin that pretty much any other sin doesn't share. God is shouting, flee fornication. Sin against our body here, 1 Peter 2 and verse number 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which do what? They war against the... They war against the soul. And by the way, church, we could go to dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of verses that teach us how that when we forsake the boundary of our purity, how that our bodies are destroyed, how that our minds are destroyed, how that our relationships are destroyed, how that the effects that these sins have on our lives destroy like few others can. So God placed the boundary of our purity as He did, that we could unlock the blessings and the fullness of the intimacy of marriage that He designed. Intimacy within marriage is a wonderful thing, a great blessing that God has given to humanity. But you will never know the blessing if you forsake the boundary. And I'm going to tell you, church, we've got to stand strong, because there is an onslaught on this generation in this regard. And mamas and daddies, we got to be careful, because you don't think anything of it, but you leave them alone with a screen for 5 minutes and the world is going to get their claws in them. So some advertisement come across YouTube, or some advertisement pop up on their games, or somebody reach out through some sort of messaging app. This social media stuff, it's dangerous, mamas and daddies. It's dangerous. But what we bury our heads in the sand. Because I think part of the problem is number one, we can't work up enough backbone to be the parents God would have us to be. You know, sometimes being a parent, sometimes being that, remember that authority, that position of honor we talked about back in the first point tonight? Most often, sometimes when you have these positions of honor, there are also positions that require responsibility. And so we feel like we don't know how, or we feel like we're not qualified, or we feel like we're not whatever. You fill in the blank. You feel like you don't have a good handle on it yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. If you're not going to talk to them about it, the world will. The world will. Mamas and daddies. In my time as pastor and youth pastor, I've been asked by more than one teenager, good teenager that comes from a Christian home, good teenager that grew up with a saved mom and a saved daddy in church from their first weeks on. I've been asked by more than one teenager, what gives God the right to set those boundaries? Now, number one, I'm glad they feel comfortable enough to come ask their pastor or their youth pastor, because I can very easily tell you what gives God the right. He's God. He created it. He put it in place. We'll get to it in a minute. He knows how it works and how it hurts. He knows what's helpful and what's hurtful. And he's going to put boundaries in place to help us have the blessing, but not the curse. But I'll get to that in a minute. But it tells me that our young people are being far more influenced than we care to admit. They are being far more influenced than we realize or that we care to admit. But burying our heads in the sand is not going to make it better. We've got to address it in our own lives and lead our children to do the same. What does give God the right? Well, God created it. God ordained it. God designed it. God knows how it works. You know, Proverbs 6, it refers to sexuality like a fire. You know, the thing about a fire and its proper boundaries is a beautiful thing. One day it will be spring again in Ohio. Spring and some of the summer and the fall are beautiful times from time to time for a bonfire. On more than one night, we have gathered around with many of our neighborhood friends, and we have gathered around bonfires, and we have sat, and we have fellowshipped, and the kids have run around and gone crazy, and we've just enjoyed the warmth of the fire, because a fire in proper boundaries is a beautiful thing. Oh, it brings so much warmth and so much pleasure and so much joy. A fire in the proper boundaries is a beautiful thing, but a fire without boundaries, or a fire that escapes proper boundaries, church, is devastatingly destructive. And God has given us the blessing of marriage and all the intimacy that comes with it. But hear me, you will never know the blessing unless you abide by the boundary. And so God has given us the boundary of our purity. The boundary of our parents. It helps us to provide security, stability, the sanctity of the home. The boundary of our passions. It unlocks the blessing and preserves the sanctity of human life. The boundary of our purity. It unlocks the blessing and preserves the sanctity of marriage and the intimacy, all that comes with it. Church, God knows what He's doing. And when we read the Ten Commandments, it's not just a list of don't do this and don't do this and don't do this and don't do this. God's not just looking to beat you down and hold you under His thumb. God is looking to give you the blessings your heart desires. God is not looking to limit you. He's looking to liberate you, to give you liberty to enjoy the life as it was meant to be. God is a good God. God is a good God. And He desires to protect us. He desires to provide for us. He desires to bless us. But church, boundaries are key to unlocking the blessings that God desires for us. None of us like boundaries, do we? My kids aren't so removed from the toddler age. You put up a fence, and what do? They immediately ignore the 300 square foot room. And they go to the baby gate. And they rattle the baby gate. None of us like boundaries. But church, tonight we need to stop and thank God for the boundaries that He has given. We need to stop and submit ourselves to the boundaries He has given. Some of us tonight might need to repent of the boundaries we have transgressed. And I'm going to tell you, some of these things, especially when we talked about purity, some of these things, pornography and things like that, they are addictive. Addictive. Some of us may need help and accountability to maintain God's boundaries in our lives. But tonight, church, we need to recognize God's boundaries and we need to thank Him for His blessings, because we serve a good God.